This is Stephen Strang, and today I get to have a conversation with my friend Joan Hunter about two people that were very special in my life, and that was her parents, Charles and Frances Hunter, the Happy Hunters. Are you old enough to remember the Happy Hunters? I first got to know them when I was 25 years old. I remember very clearly. It was one of the first articles I ever did in Charisma magazine. And I'd heard about them.
I still have a copy of that magazine.
I have a copy, too. And the first time I ever heard of them was that there was a healing with another friend of mine named Jean Lilly. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. And Joan and I are going to go down memory lane, and you're not going to want to miss this very special conversation.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
And welcome to you, Joan Hunter. I'm so glad it worked out. You could come to our studio. A lot of these podcasts I do over the phone, and I just want to reminisce about Charles and Frances for a few minutes. Such an interesting story, such an interesting pair. And literally, the first time I heard about them, they were down in Kissimmee, Florida, and they had this healing, and Jean Lilly was healed of multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I've kind of lost touch with Jean, but I saw him at a funeral. I guess that's what brings people together after years, is when our common friends pass away, and he's still going strong. He's up there in years, of course, and he's still healed. And he's been in the ministry all these years. And so when I heard that Charles and Frances were down at Christian Retreat in Bradenton, which is still going strong, too, after all these years, I drove down there, and I'll never be the same. And I remember sitting in the balcony, you know, listening to the various services, and I had set up an appointment to interview them later. And they were talking about their daughter,
uh-oh,
who was having a baby. And Frances was saying that she was going to leave and then come back. I guess they must have been there for special services for a week or so. I think this was their... And that daughter was you. And that baby was Charity.
Mm-hmm. Who's now 43, almost 44.
Can you believe it?
No.
Where has the time flown?
That means we've known each other about that amount of time,
right, too.
That's
right. Now, I didn't really get to know you and your family until a little bit later.
Right.
But Charles and Frances became friends of mine, and I remember I had a photographer there. We did the cover shot and some pictures, and they prayed for me. I had never fallen, how do you say it? There's people say it different ways.
Fell under the power, slaying the spirit.
Resting in the Lord, a whole bunch of stuff. And that photographer, now, of course, this was, you know, long before we had digital photography. He got a picture of me going down like an oak tree. And that picture is lost somewhere. I think it's in the same warehouse as Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, maybe someday we'll find it, but it's definitely impressed on my mind. And I remembered thinking, you know, sometimes you have a thought, and most of the time they're almost like a dream, and you, later on you can't even, but I think I must have talked about it enough that I can remember it. And I can remember praying, I was still a newspaper reporter at the time, you know, quite young, and thinking, I would like to be friends with these people. You know, to me, it was like going to a Billy Graham crusade or something. And little did I know that we'd become good friends and our lives would intertwine so much. And I must have said that at Frances's funeral, did I?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when she died in 2009. And of course, she'd been ill for a while, but the friendship was so strong. I flew out to her funeral just to show my my respect. So I said,
and
we were
pink, even pink tie.
That's right. You asked everybody to do that. And I said we would reminisce. I'm doing all the reminiscing, but let's just talk. Let's just have a conversation about what was it like to grow up with Frances Hunter. I know enough of her story that she didn't get saved until she was 49. So you knew her before Jesus,
yes,
and after Jesus, and her
she
name.
She got saved when I was 12. You know, and I saw an amazing change in my mom, and I'm like, I want this. And then at that point, at the age of 12, I gave my life to the Lord, and it was really neat. I just wanted to share something cute about Jean Lilly, because I remember the story. He came in on a walker, you know, and then he got slain in the spirit and totally, completely healed of MS. So he gets up, and he goes, my feet hurt. Now, for years, he has not had any feeling in his feet, and it turned out his shoes were too small, that his wife has been buying him too small shoes. So they went out and got him some normal size shoes that fit his foot properly. And it was like, my feet hurt. So he knew he was healed when his feet hurt. Because once again, they were just totally numb for all those years. But he was in ministry, just did a great job and doing great things. And then one time, it was an interesting time because my mom worked 24/7. And then all of a sudden she got saved and she worked 24/7 except on Sunday. And so we would go to church on Sunday and then we'd have everybody over for dinner on Sunday afternoon. That was a big change, okay? And then she goes on this speaking trip over to Texas because she was going, I'm never going to remarry because I'm going to have a wild affair with Jesus the rest of my life. And then she goes over to Houston, Texas. She meets this man. She shakes his hand. And 5 minutes later, they're realizing they're still holding hands. And 88 days later, they were married. And right at 40 years. So that was an exciting time. And all of a sudden, I got a dad in my life, and he was an amazing guy.
And that, of course, was Charles. I think he was an accountant, wasn't he?
CPA. Mm-hmm.
And he was an incredible man, and they were a great pair. And they went around, they called themselves the Happy Hunters, mm-hmm. and they were happy.
They were always happy.
And your mother got so on fire for God, and she wrote a number of books under the name—
Over 70. Yeah.
Yes, but total. right mm-hmm. after she got saved, under the name Frances Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And after she married Charles, she went through, she told me, I may be getting this story wrong, it's been a long time, but
I'll help you.
She went through and made the publisher change all of her books. I think she even made libraries where she was listed as Frances Gardner go through and change everything to Frances Hunter. I never saw anybody go to that length. In fact, a lot of women will leave their name the same because that's kind of how they're known. And I personally don't see anything wrong with that, but she thought it was important. And when she thought something was important, she went
after
it.
Get out of her way.
And I don't know how old she was in the mid-70s, probably in her 60s. And I just remember how much energy they had and how they traveled nonstop. And I remember one time they were up in Ocala, Florida, and I drove up there and went to their meeting. In fact, I went to a number of their meetings over the years, just out of interest more than anything else. And one thing I remember is that Charisma Magazine was very, very new, and we were still being published at a church. In fact, it was a church that Jean Lilly was a part of at the time. And for some reason, Charles and Frances took a liking to us. Maybe it's because they were on the cover. We certainly didn't do it for that reason, but Charles and Frances gave us our first national recognition, so to speak. I mean, what little church magazine becomes a national magazine and then spawns other media? Like, it's impossible in the natural. But it happened, and Charles and Frances were part of that story, and I've always appreciated them, will appreciate them till I die. And Jamie Buckingham was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have known what was in store? Back in the 70s, we could not have imagined the change in American culture, at least I couldn't, or the changes in technology. Because in 1976, when I met them, the personal computer had not been released. I think it was in development, but it was not even for sale.
A Selectric typewriter, that was about it.
Oh, that was high tech.
Yeah, that was big time.
And my parents bought me an electric typewriter, which I still have. I got it out and showed it to some of the young people. They had never seen a typewriter, you know. And then, of course, computerization and then the internet and then everything that's happened since then, even podcast.
Right.
Now, podcast is a lot like radio. We did have radio interviews back then, but it was here and it was gone. And now mm-hmm. podcast, half the podcast downloads I get every month are from old podcasts that people find. In fact, nearly every podcast is downloaded by somebody every single month. It's just amazing how, you know, we have access to so much more information now.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles and Frances went strong until they were in their 80s, I guess.
Your mom passed away at 93.
93.
And dad was a month away from 90.
So that's a long life.
A long life. Mom really lived two lives, one 49 and before not saved and 49 after saved. So,
well, you know, that's true of all of us. It wasn't quite as dramatic for most of us as it was with her. But yes, life changes when you know Jesus, isn't mm-hmm. it? And they had huge, huge crowds. I went to a meeting at the Astrodome once. Mm-hmm. The old Astrodome, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had the
official
census.
Last meeting, and that was in 2004.
And they took the census of
mm-hmm.
the
world.
Listen, mm-hmm. here in Orlando, I went door to door doing my part. I mean, I participated in their ministry and supported it in many ways for many years. And of course, by that point, it wasn't a professional relationship in maybe the same way that it started. You know, we had become friends. I was in their home. They were in my home. I think you were in our home one time. Didn't mm-hmm. we have dinner one time? Mm-hmm. And you have been through a lot. We have observed your girls growing up, and you went through a painful time in your marriage, and the Lord restored everything. And when did you get in the ministry? Because in a way, I figured that you kind of picked up their ministry in a way, but did it overlap, or did you wait until they wound down, or did they mentor you? Because I know that you and your husband had a church, and so you're involved in ministry that way, but you were raising a family for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was my perspective. My relationship was always with Charles and Frances, and I knew some of their family. That's kind of how it started. Mm-hmm. When did you get involved in ministry?
Well, I got saved when I was 12. My mom went immediately door to door everywhere she went and was leading people to Jesus, and I took care of the kids. So I was in charge of the nursery in the people's homes, and the mom led them to the Lord. So basically, at 12 years old, I hit the ground running in ministry. And then she met my dad, and by then she'd already had 3 books out and was starting to do a little bit of travel. Then we moved to Texas. And then a little bit after that, we all got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which really put a lot of fire in our tanks, to say the least. And then we started going out and praying. And I mean, I traveled with them, you know, 16, 18 years old, you know, praying for the sick, different things like that. And then I got married. We co-pastored church together for 18 years in Dallas. And then the year 2000, we were faced with divorce because of his unfaithfulness. You know, and then just different things like that. It's just been a part of my life. And they said, when did you get the call? And I'm like, I don't remember getting a call, but if you need a call, bring, now you got it. So we can get over that hump real
That's
quick,
funny.
Okay? You know, and the call's in the Word. I mean, it's Mark 16. You're going to do this. There's the call. And you get saved, you get to do all this stuff.
You know, one thing that I remember they said, and being around you, all these things are coming back to memory, but they used to say, if Charles and Frances can do it, you can do it. And I have actually either quoted that or said my version of that, making the same point with someone that they were making,
mm-hmm.
not always citing them. I don't, when necessary, I would.
They're their number one fan.
Yeah. And I really was. And they were good, and they were pure, and we'd go out to a restaurant sometimes after the service. Usually they hadn't eaten anything all day, and, you know, we'd have our evening meal, and they would witness. I saw it with my own eyes. They'd always witness to the waitress or the waiter, and sometimes they would even lead them in the sinner's prayer.
Majority of the time, they did.
It seems to me they even had some little tracks they left with people.
Right, and it's like there's two kinds of beautiful waitresses, one that's saved and one that's about to be, which are you. The book is actually called "That There Are Two Kinds Of," and yes, it's still in publication today. But God used that book to lead almost 1 billion people to the Lord. And then it's like you were talking about doing the census, going door to door. People were going door to door. And I have a young man, his name is Brian Todd. He's out in the San Francisco area. And he, in turn, has led 500 people to the Lord in the last year and a half. He decided he's going to start counting at that point. Tons before then, but specifically doing it exactly like mom and dad used to do. There are two kinds of good-looking guys that hold the camera. One is saved, one's about to be saved. Which one are you? I know the answer to that one because you wouldn't be working here. But you can do that. And it's like, you know, you pay a compliment and it gets their attention. And it's like, well, I guess I'm about to be. Well, say this with me. And then mom or dad, either one, would lead them in a prayer. And literally, thousands of people get saved every year as a result of it. Just that, even the little book there.
And isn't that such a good example? In fact, Joy and I would sometimes say we were under conviction that we didn't witness every single waiter and waitress. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have done it at different times, but they were just so full of the Lord, and they were vibrant, and they would minister in these huge locations at different times, but they also weren't too good to go to some little church somewhere and, you know, encourage them. And usually them coming was a big deal. You know, most of the time these little churches never had anyone famous. You know, famous people have to pick and choose, and there is a cost benefit, as we say in business. So I'm not trying to criticize people, but I guess they just kept their diary full of meetings all the time and didn't seem to mind. And people were touched and people responded, whether it was a big meeting or a small meeting. And, you know, I never took inventory of how many times I went to their services. But now that I'm recalling it, it was really over a period of years, it was really quite often. And then as they got up in years and they traveled less, they actually came to some of our meetings. We had some women's conferences. They they weren't really ministering in quite the same way. In fact, your mother was having trouble walking. I don't remember why, but we had a wheelchair, I guess, just in case somebody needed it. And I let her use it. And she liked it so much, I gave it to her. And they just showed up. They showed up at our maybe our 25th anniversary. I couldn't believe it. It was a surprise to me that they bothered. And they did it just to be supportive. And I think we had them give a greeting, but, you know, they weren't the featured speaker or anything like that. They were just very, very special people. And they impacted so many people's lives in so many ways. And only heaven will be able to count everything that they did. And I have one more story I'm going to say before we wrap up this podcast, but I'll also let you get a word in edgewise.
I'm enjoying this. It was so cute because you were talking about the 25th anniversary. And I remember, and they came back, and Mom and Dad were sitting there, and there was a man that everybody would know, but I'll leave his name anonymous. He came over to Mom and Dad, got on his knees, buried his face in my mom's lap, and said, "Thank you. I owe everything, my ministry, my life, my walk with the Lord to you." And I remember them coming here for that. But to have that expressed to them, because we know, Mom and Dad, me, et cetera, and you, you know you have an impact on people. But to actually have somebody come up and just say, thank you for all you've done. And I remember that, you know, they were just like, you wouldn't believe it. He just, you know, I was just, you know, put my hand on his head and I patted his head and, you know, she didn't really know what to do, you know. But it was just a really neat memory.
Special. And there are many people who felt the same
way. Absolutely.
And I'll end up telling you a funny story. I will probably get in trouble telling you. But I remember your mother, we would spend a lot of time with them at CBA.
CBA, yes.
The Christian Bookseller Association.
I told them the story this morning.
And so it seemed like every year for a number of years, you know, CBA was for several days. And one evening, we planned to go out to dinner with Charles and Frances. And in that era, it seemed like it was in Dallas a lot. And I remember I took one of my staff who did not have a charismatic background. It was on a Sunday night, and we went to your service, and you guys were being really wild that night. I think you had a Jericho march, or somebody was running around the church or something, but anyway, he was freaked out. I rather enjoyed it, but I just remember that. But that's not the story. But back in that era, I heard Frances must have given a testimony. She had prayer lines, and she was praying for people to be healed of cancer. It was a lady in Jacksonville, Florida, I'll never forget. And she had another line for people who are infertile, for getting babies. And this one lady who had cancer got in the wrong prayer line. So a year later, she came back, and she testified that she had been healed of the cancer, and she also had a baby. And we thought that was so funny.
That's hysterical.
Well, back in that era, Joy and I had just one son, and Joy thought that was just fine. She came from a very large family, and she wanted to be able to focus on our son, and she was a great mother. And I wasn't too sure. I thought I wanted another one, but I wasn't going to pressure her. I mean, you can understand it, you know, being a good husband and all. And somehow or other, Frances got wind of this. And so at CBA, somehow or other, and I think I was in trouble. I think Joy was mad at me. But Frances went chasing Joy around CBA and was going to lay hands on her. We did not have infertility issues, but it's just that, you know, we were done, we thought. Well, anyway, a year later at CBA, CBA was in July and Chandler was born in June. So you do the arithmetic.
And you shared that at Mom's memorial service.
Yeah, so
that was so funny.
And I mean, we're laughing about it. Who knows cause and effect? But back at the time, we kind of joked about it. Joy, I'm going to be in trouble. I know I am. telling our family business to the whole world. But you know what?
How old is Chandler now?
Chandler's 32 now. So
wow.
And he's a great blessing. We had dinner with him 2 days ago, and he's a great blessing. And the boys are 11 years apart. So for us, it was kind of like having two only children in a way.
And Joy has no regrets.
No.
Not at all.
None at all. But I'll never forget that story about the lady getting the wrong healing
That's
line.
Really funny. I have not heard that one before.
Well, it's interesting how when you start reminiscing, all these stories come back. Earlier today, if you'd asked me to tell you 10 stories about Charles and Frances, I would have been hard-pressed to have come up with them. And I've told you at least that many. And probably before the day is over, I'll think of two or three more. But our time on the podcast is up. We try to keep them short so it's easy to listen to. And the Charisma Podcast Network, by God's grace, has taken off in March of 2020. We're over 26 million downloads. And my own podcast has also taken off. It's kind of reflected the podcast network. I think people come to the podcast network and will hear something they like and they'll check out somebody's podcast. We have 41 different podcasts on it. And just since January 1st of 2020, I've had nearly 1.2 million downloads. So I'm sure when this podcast goes up, it'll spike again. And it's just because my listeners who like it, they share it with people and they come back and listen. A lot of people listen in the car, as I do. I would listen to podcasts today. It's a good way to use the time that we're stuck in traffic or we're just commuting from point to point.
And I love Audible books, too. It's just, you know, same thing.
Same idea.
On audiobooks, you can listen to them in the car. I mean, on the airplane.
And also, Charisma Magazine is now Audible.
Oh, that's good.
We're just rolling it out, but I actually listened to it driving into the office today that people who are too busy to read the print magazine, we read the articles word for word, don't we, Adley? And I come in and read my column every single month, and it's just a new way, you know, with all the new technology. It's sort of Audible books for magazines, and I'm not aware of any other magazines doing it. Maybe there are.
I've never even heard of it. I think that is really a great idea.
And also, you can hit fast forward if you want to go to the next article, just like you can kind of flip the page. And I've never talked about it on my podcast. I think we're probably waiting. I think it's kind of in beta. Is that what you call it?
And look, I'll have to
look at the staff. Yeah, you can, they know what's going on. I just work here, and
yeah.
Every once in a while they tell me what's going on. But in due time, we will share that more. So there's so much going on. You know, the times are difficult. Satan is like a roaring lion. And there are ways that we sometimes feel like the other side's winning. But we know that's not true. We're victorious through Jesus. And Jesus has come to give us life more abundantly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit-filled life is the way to live, where there's joy and peace and love. And we have power over the enemy. And we can prosper even as our soul prospers. And so Charles and Frances Hunter did their part in their generation ahead of us. And we're doing our part, and hopefully there's a generation coming after us who can be inspired. A lot of people who maybe never knew Charles and Frances Hunter maybe got a little insight as we talked today about them and remembered some of these funny stories. And so as we wrap this up, tell the listeners how they can follow Joan Hunter, but also there's probably a lot of resources from Charles and Frances Hunter. I guess people could probably Google them. There's stuff on YouTube, and of course a lot of their books are still in print. So if somebody wanted to check out Charles and Frances or maybe attend one of their services that was videotaped, because I know a lot of that was...
We have all that available at our office. JoanHunter.org is there. They also have their own website, CF Hunter or HappyHunters.org. And but you can call the office. They had 70 books, and we probably still have 50 of them. And then we have a lot of their DVDs still available. Their Healing School is still available on DVD rather than VHS. Then many of their things are actually on the Joan Hunter YouTube page.
That's great. And I encourage you to take advantage of that. You'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be inspired.
Laugh a lot.
You'll laugh a lot. There's a reason they were called the Happy Hunters. That's right. So thank you for listening today to my podcast, The Strang Report. It was so much fun to just have an unscripted conversation with Joan Hunter about her parents, Charles and Frances Hunter, and just to reflect on God's goodness and the gift of God that they were to their generation. Only eternity will know. So thank you, Joan, for taking time from your busy ministry schedule.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
And thank you to my listeners for tuning in to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.